Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hello to everyone that's watching online as well, wherever you are in the world, from our Murray campus to you. Can we give them a big hand all over the different time zones? Comment right now. Hello, say hey. Great to have you guys. Well, today we are unashamedly going to park ourselves around the endless possibilities of what God can do when we bring our faith to the table. How many of you know that in the relationship with Jesus, it is precisely that. We're actually in a relationship with Him. And how many of you know that a relationship is a two-way street? That's why we call it a relationship. It's not religion where, you know, us here on earth is trying to reach some nebulous, distant deity. It's a relationship with Jesus. And so I feel in my heart today to speak to you a message that will not just end where this message ends. My prayer is that it'll spark something in you to begin to believe for the impossible in God. Because we live in a world that keeps telling us that we can't, that God is not alive, He's not real, that all of this stuff is all about trust the science and all of those things. And you know, we do live in an earthly realm, but I also, the fact that you're at church tells me the fact that you are also spiritual people. And it's really important for us to remind ourselves that we are actually spiritual people. I'm so grateful that Jesus has come, He's died, He's risen again, and He's done everything. He's finished His work. In fact, the Bible tells us that His work is so finished that He's actually sat down. I don't know if at the end of the day, you're just done and then you sit down. You tell your kids, I'm done. Mom sat down now. If you want some dinner, just go to the pantry. There's 2 minute noodles in there. Sort yourself out. I'm done. How many of you have ever been, all the moms, hello? You have sat down. You are done for the day. Well, Jesus is so done, He's so finished that He sat down. It is now up to us to partner with His finished work. Do I get a resounding amen? And so I'm so grateful today that none of us here, if you consider yourself a believer, a Christian, you don't have to come bringing the blood of bulls and goats or animal sacrifice. You don't have to come with religious behavior. You don't have to come with religious attire. What you come with is faith. I know you guys have masks on, but I need something back from you. Come on. That we bring our faith. That is what is required of us. But what in particular about faith that we need to bring? Well, I'm going to drill down a little bit deeper into that thought today. But faith is what we choose to believe. It's a sustained belief. And then over time, a sustained belief becomes a conviction. It's like a deep faith or an unwavering faith. As you may or may not know, this is day 15 of our 21 days of a period of praying and fasting. We set aside this time to really focus on God and have a concentrated time where we're doing without something so we can engage with God in a more intensive manner. It's because we want our faith to rise in a time when the world is telling us to live a faithless life. And so today I want to speak to you a message where really it's a real message for everybody, but particularly if you're here today and you're struggling with chronic illness, or maybe you're carrying some physical ailment that hasn't been healed for some time, this message is for you. Today, if you're here and you're struggling with an addiction of some kind, maybe there's some life-controlling behavior that you're struggling with, today, this message is for you. If you're here today and you're carrying some kind of brokenness on the inside, you know that there is grief there, there's heartache, there's emotional pain there, there's stuff going on in your life right now, today, this message is for you. Today, if you're here, you feel like you're stuck in life somehow because you're needing some clarity around some things, and maybe it's been 2, 3, 4 years where you feel like you're really undecided and it's really inhibiting and limiting your life, this message is for you. But you also need to know that you're not alone. Come on. You need to know that you're not alone because Jesus wants to partner with you to bring you the breakthrough that you need. You need to believe today that Jesus wants you to win because He's already purchased victory for you on the cross. I need a resounding amen. Amen. And so today I want to start with a passage of scripture that I could have used so many different passages of scripture out of the Gospels, but I'm going to pick this one because it's one of my favorite, if not the most favorite passage of scripture for me in the Gospels, because it accounts for someone who is a hero of faith for me. This woman is not named in this scripture. We actually don't have her name. We don't know who she is by name, but she is a living legend. She's a dead set legend. And I want to read this passage of scripture because it's absolutely going to inspire you. Could you stand to your feet, please? We're going to honor scripture today. Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 4. You ready for the word of God? It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around Him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So it's a 12-year menstrual bleed. It was a chronic condition. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. So it paints you a picture that's quite grim. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Some of you have been in a place in life where no matter how hard you try, things are getting from bad to worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, say at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see people crowding around you or against you, his disciples answered. And yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Jesus wasn't going to give up on this moment. This was special. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her these words, daughter, your faith, say your faith, has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that? Grab your seat. Grab your seat. Turn to your neighbor and say, your faith. Turn to the other neighbor and say, your faith also. Today I want to speak to you on the thought, convictions conducive to breakthrough. Having some conditions that are conducive, convictions that are conducive to breakthrough. What are convictions? They're long-term sets of beliefs that we hold on to. I genuinely believe that there are some beliefs or some faiths that we need to have that are conducive to God moving and working in our lives. Some of you are saying, well, PK, are you trying to teach us that whenever a miracle happens, we have something to do with it? In short, yes. I'm about to give you some theology around this, because if maybe you've grown up with a bit of a disempowered theology where you can't do anything, you are completely helpless, you are the victim, you just got to sit around and wait for God to come and rescue you. You need to understand that once Jesus rescued you out of darkness and into light, he empowered you to partner with him in a relationship. Do you understand that? So there are some things that you do need to do in a relationship, and that is the thing that predominantly you do most as according to scripture, what you bring to the relationship with Jesus is your faith. You don't bring religious work, you don't bring good behavior, you bring your faith. Makes sense to you? And so when we talk about having convictions that are conducive to breakthrough, we're talking about having some beliefs in your heart that are conducive to you walking and opening the door to the miraculous outworking of God in your life. I am responsible for the atmosphere of faith in my life. God is responsible for bringing what he can bring, but I'm responsible for bringing an atmosphere of faith in my life, just like I'm responsible for bringing my faith to what he's done for me. That's why I've got my salvation. Makes sense to you? Because the only way I can be saved is by grace through faith. If you need some proof of that, we go to the book of Mark chapter 6, a whole chapter after this account of the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus goes back to his hometown called Nazareth. Turn to someone and say, Nazareth. It's a bit of a mouthful. Nazareth today still exists as a town. I've been to Israel. I went there 9 years ago. I avoided Nazareth because people around Israel told me, don't bother about going there. There's not much there. Right? Now, you would have thought, that surprised me, because you would have thought that Nazareth, being the hometown of Jesus, this is how I think, today should be the epicenter of revival. If Jesus, that's where you're from, today we should be hearing news out of Nazareth that signs and wonders are breaking out everywhere, that people are giving their lives to Jesus. It's the apostolic hub of church planting and leaders being raised up out of there. And it's like, it's just, man, it's amazing what God is doing at Nazareth. Now, I'm not shouting Nazareth down. I'm sure it's a beautiful town, but today it's 66% Muslim. Have you thought about how this could happen, that this hometown, the very place that Jesus is from today, is not known for anything, you know, remarkably Christian? There are Christians there, I'm sure. But it traces back to the account of Mark chapter 6, when Jesus actually goes back to Nazareth. He is now, you know, performing miracles everywhere. People are recognizing him more and more as the Messiah. He goes back to Nazareth. And it says this, and this is going to blow your mind. It says this in Mark 6, verse 5, about Nazareth. He could not do any miracles. Hold up a second. You mean to say that the Savior of the world could not do miracles in his hometown? What is going on? Did Jesus suddenly didn't become the Son of God once he walked into the atmosphere of Nazareth? No. What was going on here? is that the Nazarenes didn't experience the breakthrough that they needed because they didn't have any convictions that were conducive to the breakthrough. Come on, are you out there? They were responsible for creating the atmosphere themselves. And when Jesus got to Nazareth, they said, oh, isn't that Jesus, Joseph's boy, like the carpenter's son? Like he was met with unbelief and skepticism. And it says here, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Just a bit of a side note, I take that on any given Sunday. But clearly the Bible has higher standards than Ken Lee. It says in verse 6, he was amazed, like, wow. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I don't know about you, but the Bible clearly outlines in the New Testament that there is a part that you and I play in this relationship with Jesus. And if we are to walk in the miraculous of God, if we're to experience the full measure of this Zoe life, this abundant life in God, then there is clearly some things that we need to bring to the table. And what we need to bring to the table is faith. If you want more proof of it, let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Here are two blind guys. And back in the New Testament times, in the first century, prospects for blind people were not good. The quality of life was not great. There was very little social support for people that had that kind of ailment. It was highly likely that they couldn't work. And so the quality of life would have been very low. So these guys were desperate. They chased Jesus down. And it says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked, and he asked them, this is Jesus asking the blind man, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" It's not like Jesus was doubting whether he was able to. He wanted to see if these guys had a conviction that he could. Come on, you guys are getting real quiet. To which they replied, "Yes, Lord." Oh man, I want to be part of a church that is a yes, Lord church. Yeah. Then he touched their eyes and he said this. He said this to the blind man, "Because of my awesome power, you're healed." Did he say that? Jesus said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Tell me what's going on here. Because Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." He says to the two blind guys, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Clearly, there were some convictions that these people had that clearly opened up their life to the possibilities of what God can do if we were to bring our faith, our beliefs to the table. God is not requiring you today to bring the blood of bulls and goats or religious behavior or religious attire. What he is requiring of every single one of us to participate and experience what he has for us is simply to bring some convictions that he, come on, I need a resounding amen, bring some faith to the table. We're responsible for the atmospheres around our lives. We're responsible for the kind of faith that we bring so God can move. First conviction. Convictions conducive to breakthrough is simply this. We need to have a conviction that we need to do our part. Have a conviction that we need to do our part. In Mark chapter 5, you could understand this woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. You can understand her simply just wanting to check out of life. Now, I'm not a woman. I'm a man, clearly, right? I don't know what it's like to have the kind of condition that she's got, but I am married to a woman. I have some distant idea as to how challenging those times can be, leave alone 12 years straight of a menstrual bleed. The kind of cramping and pain and discomfort and spending all the money she had only to get getting worse. To make matters worse, in the first century in the Middle East, women were considered unclean when they had that, when they were menstruating for that time of the month. But imagine 12 years of being shunned by society. It was highly likely she wasn't able to work. She probably had no friends. Even her own family probably would have rejected and deserted her. If there was anyone that had any excuse to say, "I don't want to go out of the house," you can take that crowd and shove it. "I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's been 12 years and I'm still not healed. It is all too hard. I'm just going to check out and stay home." It would have been this woman. But that day, she heard coming down her street, "Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." She knew that could it be, being a Jewish woman, that maybe this Messiah was actually coming to her town, coming down her street. She had a conviction that she needed to do her part. I don't know about you, but it was an invitation for Jesus. See, for so many of us, it would be easy for us to just expect that this woman would just stay at home, watching TV, chilling out, right? That if Jesus, you were truly the Lord of Lords, the compassionate King of Kings, you would know that somewhere along the street that you're walking in one of those houses would be a woman and suffering this chronic condition, that you would just know which house to go into, burst into the house and lay hands on her, bam, suddenly she'd just get healed and it'll be a fantastic story. We'd all read that. But here's the theology that will mess with your mind. It's simply this, that this woman did not get her breakthrough because Jesus went to her. She got her breakthrough because she went to Jesus. If you have a disempowering theology, you'd be thinking, oh, I'm just going to check out of life and someone can come and help me if they really know what I'm struggling with. But this is not the Christianity the Bible is teaching you. There is something about us having a conviction that I need to do my part. I need to bring my faith. I need to ask for prayer. I need to put myself in an environment that is conducive for God to move in my life. I can't just be sitting down. Jesus is the one that sat down. I now need to respond to him in his finished work. I need a resounding amen from you. We need to have a conviction that we need to do our part. And for so many of us, this is where it comes unstuck because it's all too hard. We call it valid reasons, but they're really excuses. See, this woman, if anything, she had, I would probably consider, very valid reason to just stay home. Just stay home. I'm not a woman with this condition, but I can imagine how the crowd is the last place you would want to be at. Out with people. Particularly when you know that you're shunned for a physical ailment or a chronic condition that you did not choose to have. And yet, this woman had a conviction that she needed to do her part. Jesus was coming down her street. She needed to get out of her house. Y'all catching this? Jesus is coming down your street. You need to get out of your house. Jesus is coming down your street. You need to get out of your apathy. Jesus is coming down your street. You need to get out of your unbelief. Bring your part to the equation. The second conviction that is conducive to breakthrough, which this woman had, she's a dead set legend, is that we need to have a conviction that we need to be vulnerable. It's interesting how I love the gospel writers. It's so nuanced. It's so beautiful the way they put it. Gone on to describe exactly what she was struggling with. If you truly understood the context, this woman would have felt incredibly self-conscious. All of society would have labeled her unclean. No man would have touched her for 12 years. It would have highly likely been that for 12 years, she's self-isolated in quarantine. She would have thought to herself, I don't even know what dress to wear to manage the bleed. How can I even push out in the crowd when I've got this condition? It's been 12 years since I've brushed my hair. I don't even know how to do my hair after 12 years. For me personally, it's been 19 years. No idea how to. But for her, 12 years. You can imagine she'd not faced society apart from the odd doctor that would come and visit her, that give her these weird potions that cause these horrible side effects. You can imagine how self-conscious she would have felt. And all of the inner voice of society would have been screaming at her, stay in your house, get back in your box. Don't show people your weakness. Isn't that how society tells us to live? See, I don't know about you, but all of society hinges upon some type of saving face to hold itself up. Whether you're Asian, Australian, European, South American, African, we all have some type of cultural norm that tells us you need to save face. Don't show your weakness, only show your good parts. Don't you dare show why you're struggling, only show where you're strong. And so we're ingrained from young to never be vulnerable. We're ingrained from young to never confess our weakness. We're ingrained from young to never be able to bear with the areas in our lives where we need healing. We're conditioned from young to never expose the parts of us that are broken, and yet the kingdom of God is nothing like that. Didn't Paul say, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect? We're conditioned from young to hide our dysfunctions. For so many of us, we've been wearing masks long before the government made us do it. And yet, this woman understood that for her to have breakthrough that day, she needed to have a conviction that she needed to be vulnerable. Oh, I want to be part of a church that understands vulnerability. See, for so many of us, we struggle with it because vulnerability is the preparedness to be completely exposed in our weakness. It makes us feel very uncomfortable. We are ingrained in us to feel self-conscious about the things we're struggling with. And we think in our heads, we're the only people struggling with this. Can I break some news to you guys? Everybody sitting next to you, behind you, and around you got junk just as much as you do. They got rubbish just as much as the rubbish you've got, and it all stinks, including me. Can we just get over ourselves a little bit? Come on now. And begin to dispel some of these things that we need to wear a mask and never be vulnerable and always hide our weakness. In the book of Luke chapter 6, it accounts for a moment where Jesus has a discourse with a man. The Bible tells us that he had a withered hand. This man had a withered hand. You can imagine that his withered hand would have been a thing of great shame for him. It was obviously a disability. Jesus walks past him and it's like, I love Jesus. If Jesus was here today, he would be so politically incorrect. He walks past, clearly seeing the guy with the withered hand and said, bro, stretch your hand out. If I was the man with the withered hand, my first instinct would be to stretch out my good hand. Nothing to see here, Jesus. See? All working. It's awesome. But this man knew that for him to experience the breakthrough, he needed to have a conviction that he needed to be vulnerable. And so he stretched out his withered hand. Here's the thing. If you have a withered hand, you can't stretch it out. So all he does, it's just show Jesus is with at hand. And as he does, healing comes. You're not getting this. Come with me with your addiction, Jesus says. Come with me with that pornography that you can't put down, that gambling addiction, those pills that you're hooked on. Come with me with that anger issue. Come with me with that grief. Come with me with the things that you're so ashamed, that confusion. Come with me with those suicidal thoughts. Come with me. I want to be part of a church. Come on, can I get down here? I want to be part of a church that begins to dispel this whole thing that we need to wear a mask when we come to church. Come on, if we're going to get our breakthrough, we need to have a conviction that we need to be vulnerable. If you need to keep showing him your withered hand, show him your withered hand. I can tell you now, every single person in this room and online, we all got withered hands we need to show Jesus. The lie we tell ourselves is that we can't afford to let other people see our dysfunctions and our withered hands. And we definitely can't allow God to see it. As if God doesn't know. For so many of us, we'd rather save face than release our dysfunctions. If you're here today, you need to have a conviction. They need to be vulnerable. This woman pushed through the crowds of her self-consciousness. It's so symbolic. This so nuanced. This Mark chapter 5, this woman with the issue of blood. She was pushing through more than a physical crowd. She was pushing through all the thoughts of, I'm not worthy. I'm rejected. I'm unclean. I'm dirty. I feel so exposed here. People can see the blood through my dress. Well, what are they going to think of me? She was pushing through all of these things. And then she says this, if only I could push through, if only I've got a conviction that I need to do my part, get out of the house. Secondly, I've got a conviction that I need to be vulnerable. I need to push through the crowd. Then she says these words, if only I could make it to touch, just swipe the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Here's the third conviction. We need to have a conviction that he will do his part. If you want to see a miracle in your life, you want to see God do something in your life, you need to have a conviction that he will do his part. Now that you've done your part, now that you've been vulnerable, have a conviction that he will do his part. And it was an incredible moment because all the crowds were thronging him. Everyone was touching him. And yet the Bible says that power surged out of Jesus. And he said, hold up, stop, boys. Who touched me? Now, you remember, theologically, Jesus has all power and all authority, does he not? Right? And if he felt a power surge come out of him, the one who has all power and all authority felt power leave him, that was a serious surge of power. What was it? What was different about this woman? This is where I get really excited about how God works. I think that the power of God was attracted to a conviction that she needed to do her part and bring faith. I think the power of God was attracted to her vulnerability. And that when she touched the hem of his cloak, it was different to all of the other people, the other crowds touching him. Makes sense to you? There was something different, so much so that Jesus said, "All right, stop. I need to find out what's going on here." This woman had a conviction that God, this Messiah that was coming down her street, the one that she heard about as a Jewish woman, would save the world and transform all of mankind. That if I would touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Do you have a conviction today that if you were to bring your part, that if you were to be vulnerable, God will do his part? Because he will. Come on, do I get a resounding amen? And this is what you need to catch. When she touched the hem of his garment, the power of God flowed out of Jesus and into her body, and the power itself was intelligent. Jesus didn't have to stop and go, "Okay, power, now you need to go through her fingertips, down her arm, and then if you've got to keep going, go down all the way down to her abdomen and then her reproductive system, and then you can see your ovaries there, and you need to sort that." No. The power of God just knew what to do. The power of God just knew what to do. This is what I'm saying. If you have a conviction that you need to do your part, bring faith. If you have a conviction you need to be vulnerable, just come as you are. Then you need to have a conviction that God will know what to do in your marriage. He will know what to do with your kid. He will know what to do with your ailment. He will know what to do with your condition. He will know even what to do with the dysfunctions in your soul that you've been hiding from God all this time. All I'm saying is come with some convictions today, and God is going to do something incredible in this service. I need a resounding amen. Musicians, you can join me. And here's the thing, you know, when it comes to having convictions that are conducive to breakthrough, there are many, many walls and barriers that stand in the way of us having convictions. Convictions are hard to hold on to, particularly when there's been disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed? Can I ask honestly, have you ever been disappointed by God? 12 years, this woman had this condition. 12 years. I can only imagine how much it would wear a person down, that kind of fight against a chronic condition. Year after year, doctors would come. She would deplete her life savings. No man would want to touch her. More than just physical pain, she would probably be incredibly lonely. Year after year after year after year after year. You could have forgiven her for feeling disappointed that day. "Oh, Jesus, how can he help me? He's just a carpenter from Galilee. He's just a Nazarene." You know, another barrier is often skepticism and cynicism, a bit like what Jesus experienced in the book of Mark, chapter 6, a chapter later. The Nazarenes didn't experience the full measure of what Jesus wanted to do in their city, in their town, because they refused to believe that Jesus was who he was. Others here, apathy. "Nah, it's just another church service. There'll be another Sunday. I'll respond at another time." I don't know where you're at today, but my prayer for this online service and this service here in Myrie, today could be the day where you walk out of here with the greatest testimony of your life. But you need to do your part. Have a conviction that you need to do your part. Come vulnerable and trust that he will do his part. Is that helpful to you guys?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.